He was talking to the Corinthian church, as we looked at it last week, about all the difficulties that they were having and the divisions and what have you. And so what we want to look at today is another issue that Paul is going to mention here that divided the church, and that was that of baptism. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians 1, and we're going to read verses 14 through 7 initially here, okay? 1 Corinthians 1, 14 through 17. And here he says, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. Lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. That was a concern for Paul. Yes, I also baptized the house of Stephanas, and besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Amen. Brother Russell, would you ask the blessing upon this word, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, again we come, Lord, to seek your word. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that it will take root and grow in us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to read your word, and Lord, that you are in it. We thank you and we praise you in your precious holy name. Amen.
Amen. Now, I think it's important to keep in mind that baptism was very, very important. It was an important matter, especially for the early New Testament church. Because in this New Testament church, when somebody came to the Lord, when a sinner trusted God, and when they were baptized, literally what happens, they literally were cutting themselves off from his or her family and their old life, especially if you were a Jew, you see. They were often rejected by their families and their friends. And it cost something to be baptized openly in that day. They were baptized for a testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. Today, you know, we like to go down to the river because, you know, it's out there. It's open where people, as a matter of fact, we just did a baptism. These three right here got baptized. And there were people all the way down the river who were there for during a sunny day, watching us baptize, and I couldn't have asked for a better atmosphere, because that's what it's all about. It's telling this world, we believe that Jesus was crucified and that he rose from the dead, and that we are being buried in likeness of Christ and raised in newness of life. It was a testimony to the world of your faith in Jesus Christ. And so it's very important to do that. But a lot of folks like to do it within the church, and I guess that's fine. They have baptisms and things like that, but I think the better place to do it is out in the open in the public, because it costs you something, right? But you know what the wonderful thing was? There were people who were clapping down the river at the baptism. Yeah. And so a lot of times people allow fears to keep them from doing things openly. When people, I believe truthfully, a lot of people are hungry to know more about God.
Yes.
So Paul didn't baptize a lot, though, we see here. Just as Jesus did not baptize people, we find in the book of John chapter 4, verse 1 through 2, it says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples. You see, Jesus didn't do the baptizing, it was disciples. However, the Bible says that when Jesus comes, he's going to baptize us in another way, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, okay? He is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. So Peter and Paul, you know, we see in Scripture that they allowed their associates to baptize any new converts that would come along the way. This was because before and in particular in Paul's case, before the church of Corinth was mature, I believe Paul did do some baptisms, but it wasn't his main ministry. So Paul is not minimizing baptism here, but he's rather putting it in its proper perspective, because the Corinthians were making way too much of it, and they were, again, associating men's names with the baptism other than the Lord Jesus Christ. They were saying, I was baptized by Apollos, I was baptized of Peter, or I baptized of Paul. And I believe the point Paul's making here is that it's wrong to identify any other man's name with your baptism other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Paul didn't die for your sins. Peter did not die for your sins. Apollos did not die for your sins. Jesus died for your sins. And if you're using a denomination saying, I was baptized as a Baptist, I was baptized as a Pentecostal, I was baptized as a Methodist or a Catholic, any of those things are the same issue, the same reason that Paul wrote these things to the Corinthians. And I've heard stories about people who would not be baptized unless they were baptized by a certain person in a certain place, like the Jordan River or something like that, or on a special day. Now, again, these things do matter. I mean, if you what matters is getting baptized. But instead, like I said, what they're doing is they're not honoring Jesus, but promoting other men or denominations instead of what they should be focused upon. And as a result, it creates disunity, it creates division, and exalts man rather than God. So I want to take a look at here what Paul said and who he said he baptized. Crispus, if you read the book of Acts, he had to be the ruler of the synagogue in Corinth, and Gaius was probably that man that Paul lived with when he wrote the book of Romans in Rome. In Romans chapter 16, verse 23, he mentions him. He says, Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you, and Quartus, a brother. And then he mentions Stephanus, and it's probably the one who is described in the latter part of this book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15 through 18, where he said, I urge you, brethren, that you know the household of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of the Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such, and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanus, Fortunus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part they supplied, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. I think he mentions these men in particular because they did have such an impact upon his ministry, and they were important to him. But apparently, Paul didn't keep records of the names of the people who were baptized. And I believe it's because it was sufficient that their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? So these verses should put an end to the controversy today about how you were baptized, right? You should be baptized in only one name, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? But there's a controversy even with that today. They try to make a controversy, well, are you baptized in the name of Jesus, or are you baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Listen, folks, if you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you're baptized in the name of Jesus. Because it tells us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born. And matter of fact, I said this to somebody one time, and they said, well, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit isn't a name, it's a title. And I said, well, look at Isaiah 9, verse 6. It says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Who do you suppose we're talking about here? We're talking about Jesus. So all of these controversies are needless, and they only serve to divide the body of Christ, okay? Religion has always taken and added things to the simplicity of the gospel and made things much harder than they need to be. How many of you agree with that? You need to be baptized this way to be saved, you know? I shared this with you before. There was one day, there was a fella who had his hood up on his car, and he had a bunch of kids in the car, and I came and said, can I help you? And he said, yeah. And that's why, as I'm trying to help him there, he says, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I said, oh, yeah, I do. And he said, how were you baptized, brother? And I said, well, my pastor was concerned that people would give me a bad time about how I was baptized, so he baptized me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, okay? Well, you're lost anyway, brother, until you get this right, because it's only Jesus' name. See, these are the kind of things that create division and disunity within the church, and it's absolute ignorance of the grace of God. Amen. Verse 17 through 20 says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. So notice he brings it around to what is important, and that is the cross of Christ. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now, you have to understand in this particular time anyway, in the Jewish religion, especially with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that they were enamored by spiritual cleansings and baptisms and things like that, and cleanliness. And remember whenever they said to Jesus, why do your disciples eat without washing their hands and things like that? Well, that was a part of that, you know, the ceremonial cleansings and things. Again, Paul, he quotes from Isaiah chapter 29, verse 14, and I want to read that verse, but I want to read the verse that's before it, too, to bring it into context, okay? Verse 13, it says, therefore, the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and the fear toward me is taught by the commandments of men. Therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work amongst this people, a marvelous work and wonder, for the wisdom of the wise men shall perish, and the understanding of the prudent men shall be hidden. Jesus said, He was the end of the law to those that believe. Amen? Okay? So Jesus spoke to the religious Jews here who added to God's word, thinking that they were enhancing their experience with God. And again, I want to share Matthew 15, verse 1 through 9. Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and he said to them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But I say to you, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift from God. In other words, it was important. Part of honoring your mother and father was taking care of them in their old age, you see. And they were taking the money that they could have used to help their mother and father and setting it aside, supposedly to God, but they were probably using it for their own means. And it says, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you. These people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Now the book of Mark chapter 7 verse 13 puts it a little bit different. It says, making the word of God of no effect, your traditions which you have handed down, and many such things you do. It's not uncommon to see the same kind of things today within the church. People adding to the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The important thing needs to be emphasized. And again, that important thing is the cross and what it means to our salvation. Paul would go on to tell the Colossians that all the added doctrines and philosophies of man might appear to have value in the eyes of man's religion, but in reality simply cannot take away your sins. Only the cross of Jesus Christ can do that, you see. Listen to what he says, Colossians 2, verse 20 through 23. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though having lived in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not handle, do not taste, do not handle, with such concern, of which all concerns things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, and the neglect of the body. But listen, they are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. You see, there's only one thing that can set you free from that, folks, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. And when you get focused on that, on the cross of Jesus Christ, and you realize when he died, you died, and the life that you live now is not you, it's him who lives within you, okay? And your desire should be to please God. It should be to please God. And only the cross can do that. And unless you can come to that place where you realize that it's only by the sacrifice, the blood sacrifice of what Jesus did upon the cross for us. I don't think it's possible for a person to be saved. Because it's only by the atonement. It's only by the blood atonement. Yeah. And again, you have the people who are going back into the law, and Paul would write to them in Galatians, he would say, who's bewitched you into thinking you can be saved by the law, the things of this world, and not by the grace of God? You know, who's bewitched into thinking that way? Call them foolish, absolutely. Philosophers and those who wrote Greek and Roman history, God refers to them as times of ignorance. And folks, we have a lot of people who are living according to the traditions of men, philosophers, and history, which God refers to as ignorance too. There's only one thing that God respects, and that's his Son and the atonement that he made upon the cross of Calvary. Remember, on the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, the disciples wanted to build tabernacles for Moses and Elijah. And God, notice what he said. He said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. It wasn't about Moses and Elijah. It was about Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no man comes to the Father but by him. You see, because by the law, the Bible says no flesh will be justified. By the law, no flesh will be justified. And so it's important for us to understand this morning. These people were trying to make salvation and by the people who they were baptized by a part of their salvation. And if you're here today and you think that that's what's going to save you, just merely getting baptized, you're missing the boat. Paul said this to even the unbelievers in Acts chapter 17, verse 24 through 30. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temple made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they would seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. You know, when you're in darkness, that's what you do. You grope for things. You grope to try to find the light, right? That's what he likens it to. Though he is not far from each and every one of us. For in him we live. Who do we live in? Him. We live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the divine nature like gold and silver and stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commends all men everywhere to repent. I would say this to you this morning, that if you have a religious background that says salvation, and listen, if there is a plus mark there anywhere at all, it's wrong. Salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. The sign of a cult is with a plus mark. If you're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, plus if you do this or if you do that, you know, you need to repent of that. And you need to ask God to forgive you and help you to see that your life is hidden in Christ, and Christ is hidden in God. Amen? Paul wasn't suggesting that the Gentiles, the Greeks, knew nothing, because Paul knew all too well that the Greek thinkers had made some great achievements. However, their wisdom did not enable them to find God or experience salvation, because it was only through the Son, only through the Son. So Paul asked the question to the wise, who were the experts of that day, the scribe, who were the interpreters and writers of the law, and the disputer, who is the philosopher and the debater. And he asked them one question, and it basically was this, that through your studies and philosophies and a man's wisdom, have you come to know God in a personal way by those things? Folks, they would have to say no. But the fact that they laugh at the cross and consider it foolishness, folks, that is evidence that they were perishing, that they've never known the truth. because it pleased God to make men saved through this, which seemed foolish. The cross. As it goes on to verse 21 through 25. For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message of preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, the Greeks seek after knowledge, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Amen. Those who have been called by God's grace and who have responded by faith realize that Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. Not the Christ of the manger, not the Christ of the marketplace or where Jesus overturned tables in the temple, but of the cross, because it is that death on the cross that God has revealed the foolishness of man's wisdom and the weakness of man's power to save himself through mere religion. We are called to be in union with Christ. And folks, this can only happen at the cross. At the cross was where the church was birthed. When they stuck that spear into his side, the Bible says, forthwith came water and blood. Did you know whenever a child is birthed, what comes forth? Water and blood. Okay? From his side. Where did God create the woman from? His side, right? That water and that blood speaks of the birth of the church, you see. And we are made one with him. If you're not united with Christ through the Spirit, folks, baptism is just an empty act. It's just an empty act. There are people who've been baptized, have not even been born again, and are deceived, thinking that they're right with God because they have been baptized. You must be born again. You must be born again of the Spirit and then be baptized. It's the cross and the atonement that gives life. Verse 26 through 28 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." I believe he's talking about we who are true believers, you see. "And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen." Again, I think he's talking about believers. "And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are." Again, these Corinthians were not known for their wisdom or being mighty or being noble. And notice the word many. It didn't say any. It says many. So the point is, God saved them, not because of who they were, but in spite of who they were. So the Corinthian church was comprised of just ordinary people who were actually terrible sinners. Before his conversion, Paul had been very self-righteous. And he had to give up that mere religion in order to go to heaven. The Corinthians were at the other end of the spectrum, yet they were not too sinful for God to reach them. And remember what Paul said. He goes, "The things that I thought were once of value, I no longer think that. I think of them like they're dung or like they're garbage or refuge." So God chooses the foolish things, the weak, base things. And again, those who are born in low estate, maybe not those who are popular in the world, that's for sure, poor. Let me tell you something. The Bible tells us that if you're born poor, you have great potential to be rich spiritually. Amen? Amen. James 2 and 5 says, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?" So God chooses the foolish, the weak, the base things to show the proud of this world that they need his grace, that they need his salvation. Those in the world admire birth, social status, financial success, power, and recognition. religious standing, again, apart from Christ. But none of those things guarantee eternal life. Only faith in the cross and the atonement that Jesus made for us can guarantee that eternal life. Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 says clearly, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" So the message and the miracle of God's grace in Jesus Christ is something that utterly confounds and puts to shame those who are wise of this world, the high and mighty people of this world, so to speak. The wise of this world can't see or understand how God can change a sinner into a saint. It's not by their power. It's not by their might. But it's by His Spirit, says the Lord. Amen? Amen. I am saved not because of what I've done. I've already missed that boat. I am saved because of what Jesus did for me. Amen. And I want to continually declare that to people and let them know. People don't understand the simplicity of that gospel message. Remember, Paul said he was concerned about the church. At least somebody would come along like the devil and deceive them, you know, from the simplicity that's in Christ. It's a simple message. Salvation is in Him and Him alone. We can't make it anything about religion or denomination or anything that is of man's efforts. Natalie and I first got saved, first came to the Lord, we experienced opposition by very religious people. And we attended the Catholic Church before, you know, we came to the Lord. And don't get me wrong, there are people in the Catholic Church who know the Lord, truly know the Lord. But this lady was very devout Catholic, and she was always very nice to us. But as soon as we stopped going to the Catholic Church and she found out that we started going to another church and that we became born-again Christians, things changed. And whenever we saw her, she wouldn't talk to us, or she'd show her disdain of the fact that we are no longer going to the Catholic Church. Her own son became a born-again Christian. One day, we're in the post office, and she had to confront me, and I said, "Hello, how's your son?" And she began to lament about how her son left the church, to which I responded, "Well, he's a part of the church." And she didn't understand. So I tried to explain the gospel to her, to which she replied like this. She said, "Well, I believe that if I just keep the golden rule, then I will be okay." It was like she had earplugs in. She was blinded by the enemy. And to be honest, you know, I was very young in the Lord, and I didn't know quite how to respond to that. But if I knew then what I know now, I would have said, if we could be saved by just keeping the golden rule, in other words, doing to others what you would have them do unto you, why did Jesus have to go to the cross? Amen. Again, Galatians 2, verse 19 through 21 says, "For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain." And again, two places in the Proverbs it says this, Proverbs 14 and 12 and 16 and 25. "There is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death." My friends, the works of the law, baptisms, rituals, philosophies, anything else, being baptized in somebody else's name, anybody else, but the cross of Jesus Christ will lead you to death. To the world, that seems foolish. Many religious people, that's foolish. But like I said, as it says in verse 21, "It pleased God that through the foolishness of the message preached, to save those who believe." I've shared this little illustration with you before, and it always comes back to the cross of Jesus Christ. And when we talk about the cross of Jesus Christ, we're talking about the atonement that took place upon that cross. There's a little boy who one day was lost. He couldn't find his way home, and he began to cry because he was so lost. stranger saw the little boy crying and came up to him and tried to comfort him. And he said, "What's wrong, son?" The little boy said, though through a flood of tears, "I can't find my way home. I'm lost." Wanting to help, the man asked, "Is there anything near your house that you remember?" And the boy thought for a moment and said, "There's one thing that I can remember. I remember a building near my home with a cross on it." The man knew exactly which cross the boy was talking about. He took the boy by the hand and walked him to the church building with the cross. When the boy got to the church, he knew exactly how to find his home. When he found the cross, he found home. That's the point we want to share with you here this morning, folks. Now, let me just end with this. There's a verse of scripture that sums it all up in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And this is Paul summing up the whole thing that he started at the very beginning until this point. In chapter 3, verse 18 through 23, he said, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise." Again, he's talking about the message of the cross. "For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God, for it is written, 'He catches the wise in their own craftiness.' And again, 'The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile.' Therefore, let no one boast in men." Listen, "for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's." Okay? So he put Paul and Apollos and Cephas in the right perspective there. God gave us some pastors, some teachers, some evangelists for the perfecting of the saints, not so that we could be saved by them. You understand? That's what he's talking about in this portion of Scripture. Only Jesus can save you. Only the atonement can set you free. And if you're here this morning and you've not made that decision to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and not accepted that atonement, I want to encourage you to come forward. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here this morning and you've not made that decision to receive Christ, would you be willing to lift your hand and say, "I need Jesus"? Would you do that right now? Anybody at all?